Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, it's time that you join Industrial Talk, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates industry professionals all around the world. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You innovate. You collaborate. You solve problems. And therefore, you are making this world a better place. We are broadcasting on-site right here. DistribuTech, Orlando, Florida is the location. And it is a collection of problem solvers everywhere. I've been stuck in the salt mine, so I haven't had a chance to go around and look at all of the incredible solutions, the innovations that exist out there. And speaking of innovations, we have two in the hot seat. John and Philippe, Hitachi Digital Services is the organization. And we're going to talk about what they do best, and that is solving problems. Let's get a crack at there. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good conference?
Yes.
Quick? Nothing fancy?
Oh, no, it's always fancy.
17,000 plus, I hear.
That's what I heard, too. I heard that it was 15,000 plus.
Well, I just had the organizer come on by, and she said 17,000. I said, yes. Of course, I don't see it because I'm stuck in the salt mine, so I don't know. I get some foot traffic, but for the most part, it's... You know, it's easy going. All right, for the listeners out there, let's start with a little introduction. Philippe, starting with you, give us a little background on who you are.
So I have been working in the surveillance industry for 20 plus years, solving problems with video. So we apply these concepts of video in the industry. So we apply video analytics, use thermal cameras, radars, lidars, and other sensors. We collect information from multiple sources, and we give data to our customers that help them improve their reliability, their efficiency, solve issues with health and safety, security, intrusion.
You've seen a lot of changes. I mean, what was happening 20 years ago is not happening.
Of course, yeah.
I can only imagine the changes.
When I started, we were using like coaxial cables and like, you know, lines of control. Now everything is IP, everything is security, high speed, high resolution, faster response. So, yeah, it's changed quite a lot. Yeah. You know, at the beginning, there were like small sites with a few tens to hundreds of cameras. Today, we talk about thousands of cameras. We have airports, cities, industries where, you know, customers have upwards of 1,000 cameras or more that we help manage.
And the price point is definitely within reason.
Of course.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah. All right, John. Background.
So I'm the Global Director of Marketing for Smart Spaces and Video Intelligence, as well as IoT. At Hitachi. My background has been working with multiple blue chip companies around IoT strategy and marketing. Again, global companies within industrial technology specifically.
Same sort of deal.
Yep, same deal.
All right. So for the listeners, let's talk about the topic here that we have. John, take us through what is on your top of mind and why Hitachi is here at DistribuTech.
Right. So Philippe and I work quite a bit together on multiple projects across multiple verticals. And specifically today at the energy conference, we're talking at DistribuTech within the energy sector. We have our intelligent infrastructure monitoring solution, which, as Philippe mentioned, uses various sensors and LIDARs and different types of cameras with software overlay on top of that to look at different types of operational challenges, safety and security challenges, as well as experience challenges, and specifically the offering that we have here that we're showcasing over at the booth is our, again, for infrastructure monitoring. So we can look at different pieces of infrastructure within a utility substation, and we're able to use the cameras to either pan, zoom, or tilt and look at different pieces of infrastructure to determine its health. Also look at gauges on that as well. And then on top of that, we could do thermal readings with our thermal cameras to do heat signatures on top of that. And these are things like insulators and circuit breakers and transformers. So when you think about these utility companies who own these substations, they have to roll a truck to go out there to perform these inspections, which takes time, it takes manpower. And so since a lot of the infrastructure that's going on within, that's actually in place at these utility substations, some of it is aging. And then when you think about the dwindling workforce and the resources that they have, they really can't perform the number of inspections that they need to on all their substations as frequently as they need to. So with this offering, you could actually do this remotely. You could use these cameras, and we could have anywhere from 10, 20, 30 different types of cameras that are placed strategically throughout the substation. We could zoom in on those pieces of infrastructure, determine the health, look at the gauges, and then determine where are we going to have the resources to go out and actually apply them where they're needed most. Because it makes no sense to roll a truck and have a team go out to a utility substation that's actually working fine and all the pieces of infrastructure is actually of good health. It wastes their time. And it takes a lot of time for them to go do that. So now you could have the cameras go do that, and you could do that remotely and actually send the bodies to where they're needed most.
Take us, Philippe, through the process of, let's use an example of a substation, and you're working with a client, and we're trying to identify the best location for the cameras and all of the stuff that is necessary to properly assess the value of that substation. Do you work through that with me and say, no, I just look at that angles?
Well, angles are important. The field of view the camera is going to have is critical, right? How do we do it? We start with the inspection checklist. We need to know what are the assets or the points of interest in the substation. Like, you want to look at these gauges, these bushings, these components, these EVTs, these transformers, all these components that they have. And we have several tools to do the design. We can do a 3D scan and use the output of the 3D scan to position the cameras virtually and confirm from a different perspective what the camera is going to see. And I can hit different points, and I can select the type of camera, the type of lens, the height of the camera, like all these physical properties. And that will give me like the first validation. Then I can use another tool that gives me a little bit more details about the resolution, about the quality of the image, and I can validate like the sensor, the resolution. At the beginning, you were telling me what has changed. You know, if you think about in the 1990s, we had the VHS tapes with a really low resolution. Today, we have 4K TV, so the same thing with cameras. We can see farther, we can see more resolution, so we just need to figure out where do we put the camera that has the most efficient view. And then we try to multiply the camera in the sense that the most number of possible assets that I can cover with one device that will help maintain the solution relatively low cost and with a good performance.
In the world of, let's say, thermal scanning, when a part of the asset, condition monitoring component, John, I want to be able to use the camera in such a way that I can see certain conditions of that asset in some way, shape, or form. Not just the zooming in on the meter or whatever that might be, but even more holistically, just sort of the general condition. And can those cameras do that?
Yeah, so the cameras could do a couple things. So whether we have, if they do something like the gauges we could apply. The camera could do that automatically, where it could determine if it goes beyond or below a certain threshold, and it could form some type of alert or notification saying that the gauge is reading X amount or below a certain amount. That's that. But then when they go to do the regular inspection holistically and they look at these pieces of infrastructure and they look at these pieces of equipment, they could just do a physical inspection, just like a person is standing there and determine, is that one in rough shape or is it in good shape? And if it's in rough shape, that's something where they could look at it and say, if we're going to roll a truck out that week to go in that particular area, this is the pieces of equipment that we should look at the most.
So here we are, we've got it all, we've got the surveillance solution, and I'm using the substation again as an example, surveillance solution in place. But there's a lot more data that is being collected as from those assets as well that are not a part of the visual solution. They might just be as a result of some device pulling the data off of some assets. Do you take and sort of, this is to you, Philippe, do you take and sort of normalize that data with the visual data and sort of overlap it so that you get other data sources with the visual representation too as well?
Yes. So these telemetry that you're talking about, the SCADA systems, the OT systems, they exist on their own. We tend to have the cameras on a different network, IT network, just because we're transmitting video, we don't talk to the same type of devices. So, but there will be a database that we have in our system where we have all the data that we have collected, and that data is accessible to your asset performance management or your enterprise asset management, the monitor. And they can take all the data that we have collected and import it into their systems and like you said, normalize it and make your model, your digital twin or your asset avatar better, like you have more data, right? So you'll be able to have better predictions, more reliability.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that's really the crux of, IT-OT integration.
Yeah.
And going forward into the future and actually making that shift from reactive to predictive is taking all these various pieces of data from IT and OT systems, normalizing them, and then being able to do something with that data and going forward into the future. I think that that's where everybody's going, and that's where we're headed for sure, is really telling that the broader story of real-time data and historical data, both from IT and OT sources.
Does the capability of surveillance allow some parameters, some ability to just say, I'm going to alert? And I think Philippe, you mentioned, or somebody mentioned, where I can look at a meter, whatever it is. It could be an analog, and it's within the right thing. But does the solution allow to say, I've got some sort of smarts up here, and that meter is not in the right, it's not correct. Mm-hmm. Does that exist?
It does exist. And so, again, when you think about some type of gauge, we'll say, if it drops below or above a certain threshold, we could set up automated alerts or notifications stating that this piece of equipment gauge is reading X amount, therefore you should go out there and check it, especially if it's something that's below or above a certain amount where it can cause some type of damage. Because that's the kind of, again, the point of being able to save on your operational costs and also your capital costs. If you could address a problem before it becomes a fault in some type of way, in most cases, that's cheaper than waiting for it to fail, and then it's a massive capital expenditure.
Oh, yeah, it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. You don't want a catastrophic type of failure, especially when it is in the world of energy and utilities. You know, you lose a transformer, you're not going to run to Home Depot to pick up a transformer for a substation. You're just not.
And that's a massive revenue loss for these utility companies.
And the regulatory agencies don't like it. Mm-hmm. And so that's also a pain.
Absolutely.
So with all that said, with all that wonderful innovation in that technology, Philippe, where do you see it going? What's that next, just put your future hat on. Talk to us about that.
So today we can do a lot of analog gauges and counters and meters. We can transform it or convert them into digital data. We can do thermal analysis. We're working on adding other types of analysis, for example, monitoring the fans on the transformers. Like fans will be on or off, depending on if the transformer needs to be cooled down. But sometimes the wind is moving them, so we need to be able to determine if they're moving because they're on or it's just the wind moving them.
Right.
We're also looking at vegetation. We're looking at the grounding rods, the grounding cables. We're looking at the bushings health. So if they have any obstructions, any damages, any corrosion, anything that is visible that we can tell the there's a need for maintenance. There is also a way to detect the partial discharge, the corona effect.
Yep.
So we can also bring those sensors. Those are UV sensors that can give us that information. We have LiDAR sensors, radar sensors, so more AI. Like you said at the beginning, like AI is the key. So the images that we collect are the basis so we can build more use cases. We can do intrusion detection, health and safety, license plate recognition, face recognition. We can even do emotion detection if we need it. Like so many, if you can see it, we can somehow quantify it with AI.
I think, John, you brought this up. That's spot on, Philippe, because I think there's just so much more that can be applied with that visual capability. But to your point, I know that you can't have, with all of the substations out there, with all of the assets that exist out there, with everything. I was on patrol, and so we would patrol, and we would physically patrol. And why did you go over here? Well, it's because on our single line map, it was time for us to patrol it, right? There was no real rationale. It was just time based, right? But here is a way of being able to visually represent and take my time and optimize it,
right,
and direct me to the areas that need attention.
Right.
Right, John?
Yep, absolutely. It's applying the resources that you have to the most critical parts of your operation where they're needed the most, instead of wasting the operational cost of sending teams out there to do something that doesn't need their attention necessarily.
And the reality is that we have to, if our standards are trying to become net zero in a certain period of time, and our infrastructure is our infrastructure, and you're trying to add to it, you're really trying to gain that efficiency. You're trying to remove all of that inefficiency out of it so that you can reach your targets.
And in addition to that, like, it's the tribal knowledge. You think about the workforce that's out there these days that actually has this tribal knowledge to be able to go out there and work on these pieces of equipment. It's dwindling. You know, there's not many people who have the skill set to be able to actually go out there and do that. And to train new people costs a lot of money. So when you're thinking about the dwindling workforce and actually applying the resources that you do have, that's most critical.
God. It's such an exciting time. This is for clarification. If you can talk about it, you can. That's one thing. If you can't, no big deal. I got it. What was the thought behind creating Hitachi Digital Services versus what was the thinking behind that, John?
I think it was a combination of a lot of different things. I think you think about the offerings that we have, and how they all seem to work together. You know, they obviously within digital services, you know, we have everything from our ERP, our Oracle, SAP, things like that. We're able to do quite a bit, and everything just melds together pretty well with digital services together and how they work together. Because we really think about, you know, IoT services, what we offer there, smart spaces, video intelligence, cloud, all of it just, again, it works well. And when you go to approach a customer, it's more of a one Hitachi solution.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I was thinking that Hitachi is a very dynamic company. Like, you know,
that's an understatement.
It changes and it adapts frequently. And what I see is that we used to be part of Hitachi Vantara. We used to be the digital solutions business unit. And this business unit is maturing. It's mature enough that the company said, you know what? I think that this is time now that you can be your own legal entity, your own company. And now our Hitachi Digital Services is also including GlobalLogic, right? We have IoT, we have ERP, we have other business units, and now we are becoming independent.
It's an exciting time. John, if somebody says I need to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Probably find me best on LinkedIn.
There it is. I love the LinkedIn stack card. It makes it easy. And you, Philippe?
Same thing.
LinkedIn. You're active out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys were just absolutely a delight. I enjoyed this conversation immensely. There's a lot going on, and you guys are, like you said, you're the tip of the arrow, which is pretty cool. I like that. All right. Listeners, we're going to have all the contact information for both Philippe and John out on Industrial Talk, as well as links to their companies. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Mad. Absolutely mad innovation being delivered by Hitachi Digital Services. Great job to Philippe and John for just painting that solution, that picture of that solution. Visibility big time into what your business is doing, specifically from a utilities perspective. I don't know, man. It's exciting. I am so glad that those two are on, and as well as Hitachi Digital Services are out there providing these solutions. You got to reach out to them. Make that a point. This is your call to action. All the contact information for these two gents will be out on Industrial Talk. It's just their LinkedIn stat card, man. Go check it out. It's all good. Get engaged. All right. Once again, we're building a platform. A platform that is solely dedicated to you, the heroes of industry. That's you. That's you. Get engaged. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Hang out with these two gents. Change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly.